Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And just a quick reminder, you just heard use the code Infamous and you get $5 off at Comixology. That sale is ending on July 31st, so make sure you go and get your discount.
Hurry!
All right, so this week
What date is it? I don't even know what the date is.
Today's date, the date of the recording at the tone will be July 10th.
Oh, okay, you got time.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so this week we are saying goodbye to Steve Ditko. We are visiting Voltron Season 6 and reviewing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep.
Sound like a plan?
Sure.
All right, so Steve Ditko died on the 29th of June, just recently, pretty much right after we recorded the last episode. He was 90 years old.
Yeah.
So he was an old guy. But, you know, I mean, he's one of the more prolific comic book artists of all time, you know, creating Spider-Man, or co-creating Spider-Man, Green Goblin, Doctor Strange, amongst others.
Most of the Charlton characters that became the Watchmen.
Yep. Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
The Question.
Yeah.
And there was two others.
But I knew The Question. I didn't remember the other ones.
Yeah, it was two of the Charlton characters, a DC bot
that,
you know, still exists, but they were also transmuted into Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so
yeah, and then
indirectly Steve Ditko helped create the Watchmen.
Yeah. And then Hawk and Dove and the Creeper.
Yeah, the Creeper was another one.
The Creeper is an interesting character.
Yeah.
Like, not really used a whole lot.
No.
But when they do use him, like in the animated stuff, he's interesting.
It's a hard character, I guess.
I think that'd be a hard character to write and draw in a comic. Yeah. I think Ditko was a seer there. Was like, this guy's for cartoons.
Yeah, maybe.
So, but yeah, he was famously reclusive. I mean, he was rarely been on the record or interviewed or spoken in public. So.
Yeah, I know that he answered letters. Like, if people wrote letters to him, he answered back, because somebody I know actually wrote a letter to him, like, a year and a half ago.
Nice.
And he wrote back.
Awesome.
And answered the question that was asked and, you know, thanked him.
Yeah. Thanks for the letter.
Yeah.
So
signed it and everything. So that's cool. I mean, yeah, I've read articles about people who tried to find Steve Ditko, and it's like, you know, go away, kid. You're bothering me, pretty much, like, was the answer that they got.
Yeah. It was like, it's like with Bill Watterson with Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to be
Does
found.
He really even exist?
I don't know. Well, your guess is as good as
mine. The difference with him and the difference with Ditko is people knew where Ditko worked and people knew where Ditko lived.
Right.
So they seen him.
Right, right.
I mean, you know.
They know he exists.
If you wanted to see him, you'd see him. Bill Watterson, the documentary that I watched about him.
He's not in it.
He's not in it at all. Like, there's no pictures of him. So does Bill Watterson really exist?
Maybe Bill Watterson.
Or did Charles Schulz write Calvin and Hobbes?
Well, I was going to say there could be that, or it's the lady who wrote For Better or For Worse. She wrote Calvin and Hobbes. That seems like something in her wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, I mean, like I said, like, it's just a quick RIP.
I don't blame these people
for
being reclusive and not, you know, I understand the idea of the celebrity of it now.
Right.
And that, and comic conventions always were nice because, you know, Most of your comic book writers and artists in some way are teachers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and a lot of them become teachers.
Right.
I mean, we know that Joe
taught.
Yeah. And Daryl Banks and a few of the other ones that we know locally.
Right.
Have taught. And it's one of those things where I know that, you know, most of them want to show how their process works.
Right.
But some of them don't. And I'm like, just leave them alone at that point, you know?
Leave them be.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, in like you're saying, like, the you understand the reclusive nature and stuff, especially now, because people get attacked for, like, the weirdest things.
Oh,
like,
yeah, sure.
You know, like, Ethan, right? Ethan Van Sciver.
Yeah.
he is very politically outspoken, sure. And you know, he's choice. A bit of a troll.
That's a choice of, you know, it's the same choice as being a recluse to not be a recluse and be out there and put yourself out there. I mean, there were, when he passed away the other day, Bob Layton put up a nice little, I guess you would say, eulogy to him, and talked about working with him, and, you know, talked about him and stuff that I didn't know.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, well, you know, and I said to him, I replied to him, I said, thank you for sharing your story. I mean, you know, because you don't hear that stuff that often.
Yeah.
And that, and it's just like, you know, that's what I appreciate is, like, you know, when other creators talk about people like Steve Ditko, who does who not want him. To, you know, associate with just the normal comic book fans, but works with other comic book writers, works with other comic book artists. And, you know, people know him. So it's like, yeah, you tell the stories about that person and, you know, the positive things about that person.
But, like, I have that amazing fantasy magnet on my board right there. And, you know, it's like, I love that. It's one of my favorite ones.
I mean, it's just one of those things where if you grew up watching the Spider-Man cartoon, you watched it because of Stan and Steve.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Spider-Man's there because of them.
Yeah.
And that, and, you know, a lot of nice dedications were done. A lot of nice art dedications were done to him and that. And I'm like, yeah, it's totally one of those ones where, you know, not that many people are still around that worked with him.
Right.
So
did you see Tom Holland's? It was pretty good.
No, I don't know if I did or not.
Okay. I mean, just the
kind of seen
Spider-Man,
the one where they were doing the Doctor Strange opening the portal.
Yeah.
And it was Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. And yeah.
Steve walking through.
Yeah. So that's cool. But I mean, you know, it's one of those things where he worked pretty much up until the day he died.
Yeah.
You know, he did stuff for people, like, you know, he did stuff for the new Valiant and all that. He worked with the old Valiant because of Bob Layton. He worked with the old Valiant.
Right.
And I think he did a couple of things for the new Valiant, and, you know, he did stuff for whoever paid him. And it's like, he's a working artist. He was a working artist. And it's like, you know, we appreciate the characters that he co-created, and, you know, we try to appreciate them to this day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Spider-Man will always be around. Spider-Man and Superman and Batman are the major three that will always be around.
Yeah.
And no matter what. And, they'll be around in some way or another.
Yeah. And there's a whole, you know, Amazing Spider-Man's getting a new number one with you know, a new writer with Ryan Otley as the artist. Right. Is it Nick Spencer?
I think so.
Yeah.
It comes out.
That'll be interesting. It comes out tomorrow. It'll be when you're listening to this, it's already out. But
I mean, it's one of those things where we had a new Spider-Man movie. We've had 6 Spider-Man movies.
Six
Spider-Man movies, an animated movie on the way, a TV series in the 70s, multiple cartoon series. I mean, you know, so it's one of those things where, you know, Spider-Man is an icon.
Yeah.
And that,
to me, you know, I mean, Spider-Man is the Marvel's most iconic character.
Yes.
And probably the second most iconic character behind Superman worldwide.
I'd say Batman.
Worldwide, I think Superman is
Superman, Batman, Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought. Okay. Spider-Man. Yeah, I can agree.
If you did a top 5 iconic characters around the world, it would be Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Captain America, just because.
Right.
And then the fifth one would be all over the place.
Probably
because
Wonder
people
Woman
would not
in
be
some
able
places.
To agree. Yeah.
Currently Iron Man in some places because of Robert
Downey
Jr.
But I think those four.
Hulk.
Are your most iconic characters because Cap's been around as long as, you know, Batman and
Superman.
Any of them, and it's just that symbol of,
you know, Robin might be number 5.
It's possible.
So.
But I mean, it's just that symbol of, you know, a good America.
Yeah.
Captain America is what America, you
ought
know,
to be. Strives
looks
to be.
To be. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that the world looks at it that way too.
Cool. Cool, cool. All right. Well, hey.
I don't know. Our friends in Poland, tell us who you think the most iconic.
Email us. Let us know.
Yeah, I definitely would be curious if there are people listening like around the world. And
there's Captain Britain.
Who you feel your
Psylocke.
Most. Well, I mean, like if you look in England, one of their most iconic, and it would probably be the fifth one, is Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where different places in the world are going to be different characters.
Well, like, I went to Austrian college, right? And I have a picture, it's in here somewhere, of right. a comic shop there, and it's a three-dimensional Spider-Man
right.
stuck to the wall, like, you know, yep. doing the thwip motion. And, you know, it was like everyone walking down the street knew who that was.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
But
if
it,
you
it,
say,
it proves our point.
If you go to any country and put on a red cape, Superman.
Yeah.
You put on a blue cape, Batman.
Batman. Yeah.
You know, no, you put right. on some kind of red hood, Spider-Man. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be the costume. It just has to be something similar to the costume. And yeah. people will recognize who you were right away.
Yeah. You put on bondage gear, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That that movie, Professor Marston,
yeah.
it's on Hulu.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
I keep meaning to, and it's like, I don't know if I want to watch this or
not. I watched one called Score the other night about movie composers.
Oh, I saw you post that on Facebook. Yeah.
And it was made in 2016. It was really interesting.
It's on Hulu?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Okay.
And they literally interview every current composer, except John Williams. They didn't interview him, but they talk about him extensively
yeah.
because he has entered, you know, like pretty much inspired this generation of composers.
Oh yeah,
like
absolutely.
Him and James Horner and Michael Kamen.
I mean, you could almost argue that John Williams is the greatest composer of all time. I mean, he's
movie,
up there.
Movie composer.
No, I would say just in general.
Movie composer.
Oh yeah. Okay. We'll agree to disagree. You wouldn't put him up there with like Mozart and things like that.
He's just copying them pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you really look at it, it's just a movie version of their stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And people lose their minds for that, but it's true.
Yep. You're going to get all sorts of hate now.
That's fine.
What do you mean Mozart's not, or John Williams isn't as good as
comparable
Mozart?
To
Why is he
Mozart?
Copying? So.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, inspiration falls down. So
yeah,
John Williams was a jazz composer.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. And he played, the best part of that was in that documentary, I found out like one thing I didn't know about him was he played guitar on the West Side Story soundtrack.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, he was a guitarist before he was a composer. So, you know, it's like, huh. Okay, cool.
Very interesting.
But yeah, they interviewed like Hans Zimmer, Bear cool. McCreary, and
oh, nice.
Yeah, pretty much everybody. And they showed a lot of what they were doing at that time. So there was like just music from different movies that have come out since mm-hmm. then that you can watch and be like, huh, so that's the process.
Who did King Arthur, do you remember off the top of your head? The latest one?
No.
That had a good
It's probably his
score.
What's his name that does all of Guy Ritchie stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I can look it up.
He did Sherlock in that too.
Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right. Cool. Well, hey, you know, I'm gonna check that out. They should probably check.
Yeah,
it out.
It's fun. If you're a fan of scores from movies, then yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
And you watched the Funko one, right?
Oh yeah.
Is it worth watching?
It's okay.
Angel thought it felt like she felt like they were calling their shot a little too soon, that they haven't been around long enough to warrant a documentary.
I don't feel that it was that. I feel like they didn't focus enough on Funko.
See, we haven't watched
it yet. They focused more on the, and you know, it's cool. They focused on the Funko fanatics a lot.
Okay.
That's great. But don't call it a documentary about Funko if you're focusing on the Funko fanatics.
Okay.
I mean, they interview everybody from Funko, but I felt like there wasn't enough Funko and there was more Funko fanatics
okay.
and more celebrity because, you know,
yeah.
the pops are celebrity based.
Right.
And that, but I just felt like, you know, we didn't get enough of like the stories of the people that have busted their butts over the years for Funko besides
okay.
the presidents and,
yeah.
you know, stuff like that. Like the artist that worked there. We got a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but not enough to
okay.
like, you know,
cool.
sate my appetite for what I was expecting it to be. Cause okay. I want it more of like, you know, where did the idea come from? Why did it happen? How
yeah.
did it happen? And when did you realize that, holy crap, pops are, you know, pops are the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enough of that.
Okay.
But I mean, like, it was interesting though. The Funko fanatics I liked watching because I like watching fans who actually have a passion for their
oh, yeah.
stuff and don't, you know, belittle their stuff.
I like Pops. I think Pops
yeah,
are great.
Yeah, well, I mean, so. But you're talking about the people that were Funko fans before Pops.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So, like, they have stuff that, like, I'm like, wow. I'm like, I've never even seen that before. It's like, you know, it's always the thing where I'm like, because I'm older, I like the books with all the pictures in them of stuff and, like, the histories of stuff. And
I know. It's a great way
you
to
know, like
take
the,
care
like
of you
the
for Christmas.
Tomart, the Tomart things were always, like, you know, I have every Tomart guidebook that he published.
Oh, cool.
And that just for the fact, you know, of the toy and horror genres and that type of stuff. But I'm like, they're just great guidebooks. It's great to like look at that stuff and see what you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
Because there is, I mean, I'm very like eclectic on what I know has been made in that, but there's stuff that I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, and when I see it, I'm like, oh, great. That's cool because that's something I've never seen before. So there was stuff in there that some of those fanatics had because Funko would just give them stuff.
Nice. That's really
like,
cool.
That's the thing. Is like Funko was a company ran out of a garage by five people.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, those type of companies give people stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at least with Funko, they've kept that practice of, you know, they have a party every year for their Funko fanatics. And I'm like, that's cool. It's like, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. I mean, you know, I didn't have any major complaints about it. I just said, you know, I would have liked to see more about the company and a little less about the celebrities.
Sure.
It was more the celebrity thing that just derailed it for me.
Who were some of the celebrities?
Walter Jones that played the Black Ranger, Jason David Frank that played the Green Ranger. Kevin Smith, of course, had to show up because, you know, he has to show up in everything.
Hey, if it's geek related, Kevin Smith is there.
Sam Jones, who played Flash Gordon, and a couple other ones.
Okay,
I don't remember if they got Mr. T or they talked about Mr. T.
Yeah,
and that they had a boxer on there that is actually a fanatic.
Oh,
yeah, he's a Funko fanatic, but nobody. He said when he was fun because when he did his interview, he said I've been a fanatic for a long time. He goes, I wear it on his belt. He wears a Funko symbol. And that, and he said, my friends aren't going to know that until they see this. He goes, the ones who are close to me know it because they come to my house. They see the stuff.
They see all the stuff.
But he goes, just my friends in the boxing and that. He goes, they're not going to know this until they see this. And it's like, it's like, okay. It's like, that's cool. It's like, you know.
He was outing himself as a nerd.
Well, yeah. He that's the thing is like, he was like, I just like this stuff. He goes, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's literally, and I'm like, yeah, that's the whole charm of that company is that they just try to have fun.
Cool.
And I mean, if you look at their store and they show their store and the behind the scenes of the making of the store.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, they are literally following what the company was set up to be is just have fun.
Yeah.
And make money, but have fun.
Yep. Awesome. So, all right. You want to talk about some mini lions?
Yeah, we can talk about the lions.
So season
and the vehicles
six,
and
the vehicles are coming, man.
I told you. I told you. They can't. Legitimately, they can't do the show without the vehicle Voltron showing up at some point. I mean,
well, legitimately, they could.
They could, but it's not fair to like fans of just Voltron.
Well, and especially because they said that the original Voltron went for about 100 episodes,
right?
And they want to do more,
right?
And they've done they've done 45 so far.
Yeah, what was it? Two seasons of 13?
Yeah.
And then four seasons of 6 to 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've done about 45, 48, something like that. So they've got 62 more to go. Or
right.
52
well, and there's
more
enough,
to go.
There's enough story to build with that you could have Vehicle Voltron in there, but he doesn't have to be there the whole time.
No.
I just want to see what they're going to do with a new version of Vehicle Voltron.
And so we'll get to that. Yeah. But so I had a hard time finding like a summary for this season.
What do you mean?
Like just seeing like what Netflix had out there or what DreamWorks or things
Netflix
like that.
Have?
It was just nothing. And like so the thing I found,
things go down, Lotor's outed, you know, there
so
you go.
I found from a press release, as the lines between darkness and light continue to blur, shocking revelations and power struggles send Voltron hurtling towards another epic showdown.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It is, but that's the vaguest summary ever, which is great, you know.
Well, it's literally, we don't want to spoil this, so this is what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Voltron's got to fight somebody. It's pretty much all you got to do. All you got to do is put it in there. Like, the Voltron Force has to fight somebody.
Yeah. Okay, this has been out for a little while, so we're going to beware of spoilers.
It's been a month?
Yeah, just about the 15th or whatever of June. So, yeah, something just like about that. A month. Yeah. It'll be a month by the time they listen to this. So, I loved this season.
Sorry, you listen to this, not they listen to this.
And you, sorry.
Yes.
Who's the you? I'll
apologize to them.
Them?
Yeah. Those people.
Those people? What do you mean, those people?
Well, I didn't mean those people.
That's still the funniest part of Tropic Thunder.
Oh, what do you mean?
When he goes, what do you mean those people? Or what do you mean you people? And then he goes, what do you mean? What do you mean you people?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So, anyway, I loved this season from top to bottom. I thought.
I don't think I've had a problem with any
season. I haven't had a problem with any of it yet. But this is my favorite so far.
This one that gave me the most, like, of what I was guessing answers to.
I think that's why I liked it. It answered questions and asked questions at the same time.
But I mean, like, all the things that I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen, and that person's going to do this, and that person's going to do that. Everything that I guessed was almost close to right.
Yeah, you were close on just about everything.
Which is always fulfilling because I'm like, I don't know if I'm right or not.
I think one of my favorite things is we learned what rapid saw means.
Yeah. That it's a move.
It is a move.
Yeah.
It's a military maneuver.
Spear-like maneuver.
When Hunk was learning...
Excuse me, what's the Picard maneuver mean?
when Hunk was learning from Lotor's nanny...
Yeah.
Or governess, excuse me. That was great. It was so awesome to have that so early in the first episode because...
It gives you a perspective of, you know, the whole race that you weren't getting.
Right.
And, you know, inspired the end of that episode.
And the other thing, too, is we lost some of Hunk at the end of last season. Like, he wasn't, like, super prevalent in the last two episodes. So it was nice to, like, just get, like, a good chunk of
a
Hunk,
good Hunk
right there. Because I love Tyler Bean.
Yeah.
Tyler Labine, so. But then when they went to the shield and they were going to fix it and the guys were arguing and Hunk just drops the Galra knowledge on them.
Yeah.
And they're both, Repetsani's like, I did learn something.
Yeah.
The pain did work.
That's literally what it was, is learn through the pain.
I almost wish
that idea.
I almost wish Ed Asner would have been the voice doing the Granny Goodness voice of her, though.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been kind of cool. It would have taken me out
of
it, though.
A lot of British type voices for the Galra.
Yeah. Well, because they're so very refined.
Yeah.
So,
So
that one was good. And we won't go episode by it. Maybe we will. I don't know. But the second episode was with Keith and his mom, where we got his whole backstory.
The Farscape episode.
Definitely the Farscape episode. If there was ever a Farscape episode.
Hey, look, it's a Budong.
So.
The time jumps were so cool. The time lapsing and time jumps was cool because you were like, how is this going to affect Keith?
Well,
you know, when he comes back,
right?
Because you knew that he would come back,
and
it's just one of those things. Well, will he come back as an old man? Will he come back, you know, younger? What's going to happen to him and his mom? And, you know, then to find the girl they found, it's like, okay.
Well, the fact that they found the Altaians,
essentially
that Lotor had absconded with
a colony of Altaians that Lotor rescued.
Stole.
You know, he rescued them. With, you know,
from a certain point of view,
I think it was he rescued them, but his purposes weren't as, you know, charitable as they thought they were.
They were not very altruistic, if you will.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I think. Yeah. I like that the idea that the Altaians could disguise themselves as Galra, though.
Yeah, that was
cool. Like, where has that been in the show? Yeah,
but Alora did it earlier.
Yeah,
in the first season, she did that where she grew.
Yeah,
and she turned her skin purple, and you know,
I didn't remember that. Okay. But like showing multiple,
but yeah, seeing
Altaians
a bunch of them.
It's
do
like
it.
Okay,
so yeah,
it's like, so how many Altaians are running around out there still?
Well,
that
that's the cool question, right? But I like that Keith now has a pet. We know
everybody's got a pet.
But we had that wolf thing that was popping up like here and there, and like at the end of last season, the wolf kind of like in one of the visions I think Shiro had
right
engulfed him. with his snout and everything, with his mouth.
Right.
And so that was really cool to kind of see where that came from.
Well, it was cool with the visions because you got hints of what was going to happen toward the end of the season with Shiro.
A lot of really good foreshadowing there.
The Shiro thing, I was like, oh, this is going to come to a head this year. It's like finally.
Which was great. Like it had
to happen. I was wondering when it was going to happen. And I'm like, you know.
I don't remember. Did you guess that he was going to come back with all white hair? Because I thought you said that.
No. But I said that it was possible that he was in the lion.
Yeah.
And that he would become the lion.
Yeah. Well, you had said he was going to become the lion. Yeah.
Yeah. That he would be the lion.
But he was the lion.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like kind of like one of those things where I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I was kind of right.
You weren't wrong.
Yeah. I'm like, so he's been in there the whole time.
You weren't necessarily like right, but you weren't
controlling the lion. Yeah. The lion was still controlling itself. And, you know, the paladin obviously controlled it too. But I'm like, so he's been in the system the whole time. It's like, okay, all right. And I'm like, I liked that they, you know, and this is jumping to the clone episode. I liked that they confirmed that he did die.
Yeah.
That he was dead. He was a ghost in the machine.
And I just want to give a shout out to Josh Keaton for this season.
Yeah.
Because this was his best yet as Shiro. And I mean, Keith is my favorite character because Keith is my favorite Voltron character.
Sure.
And I love this version.
Right.
But as far as, like, new, like, Shiro being new.
Yeah.
Not being Sven.
Sven, yeah.
I cannot get over how good Josh Keaton does this. Just does the voice and you know, all the different versions of Shiro he had to play this season.
Well, right, yeah. The controlled version and the clone and then the clone on.
Yeah.
Clone off the rails.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Monsters in Mana episode, where the Dungeons and Dragons episode, which was. I'm going to put in my top three favorite Voltron episodes, probably.
Okay.
I don't know how you felt about
it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good, to put it in the middle and make it a break was a good idea. It's like, as much happens in the last two episodes, it's like.
Well, it was the third episode.
Or the last.
So.
Was it the last three episodes?
The last three are Black Paladin, All Good Things.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Defender of All Universes.
It's the middle of the story, pretty much. And it's like that break helps with the last three.
Yeah.
We watched the whole thing in one night.
That's what the kid and I did, too.
So it was like, it was watching a movie and I'm like, well, this is a nice little. Pause.
I mean, it's a nice 3.5 hour movie.
And I like that he pretty much, Shiro gave himself away by making a copy of himself when he gets killed.
Well,
in the Dungeons and Dragons game.
When he does the I don't see what's wrong with being a paladin. The paladin is, being a paladin is the greatest thing. And he's like, I'm going to be a paladin again.
Yeah.
And then again.
Yeah.
And it was, it was good.
That's what he was programmed to be.
And Rhys Darby with Coran season was great. The whole thing with Allura and the triangle that they created with Allura and Lance and Lotor was really cool.
Yeah.
And not like over the top or soap opera-y.
When I like the idea in the story that they use everything that they've introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So the mice who have never gotten along with Lance come to Lance and like are comforting him and he's talking to them. And doesn't realize that they understand everything he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
And they go back and tell Allura. And she's like, wait, what? He loves me.
Lance loves me.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that's really like just cool that they do that. That they, like I said, Vehicle Voltron will be used because of what we had in the last season where Pidge's dad and brother went back to Earth.
With the plans for
everything, pretty much.
So, the Black Paladins with Keith and Shiro fighting.
I literally thought that what's his name was going to show up too in the system. Zarkon.
You did?
Yeah, because it said Black Paladins, and I'm like, so is this going to be a fight on like a dream level where
it
could
have been the
Black
Paladins and the fact that there were tubes full of Shiro,
right?
You know,
but I was just like, I was thinking like, man, is Zarkon going to show up?
I'm
at
happy
some point?
That they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I think we will see Zarkon again.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And, and the whole thing with Hagar.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that's why I think we'll see Zarkon again, right?
She changed herself back.
She changed herself back into an Altaian.
Yeah.
And then she's, like, astral projecting herself all over the universe.
As the Hagar that everybody knew.
Yeah.
just weird.
And then she shows up to Lotor and she's like, hey, I want to be your mom again. And he's like, ladies, you're on my team again, Blaster.
Yeah.
And
she just disappears.
Just disappears.
Because she wasn't there the whole time.
Exactly. It was
very, she was much testing, like, him to see, yeah, like if he would go with her or betray her, and she knew he would betray her. So,
but did he betray her really, because she knew it was gonna happen?
It wasn't a direct betrayal, I guess you would say. It was just, you know, it was expected.
Yeah.
So that's why she wasn't there at all.
Yeah.
And that she knew that the girls were gonna turn on her at some point too. So
yep.
Yeah. So, which, I'm always happy to see them. I think they're fun.
They are great.
Their designs are, like, you know, you see a lot of, like, weird Altaians, but I'm like, their designs are, like, the,
you
most.
You mean Galra?
Are Galras, yeah. Yeah, and that. But I'm like, they're so streamlined. And, you know, I really do think that one is Key's sister.
I do too.
Yeah. I more and more, like, when they've been showing stuff and, like, you're starting to see, like, hints that she might be more than what you assume.
She's a sister from another mystic.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. And then when Keith comes back, we didn't kind of finish that. We didn't finish that thought.
Yeah.
He's older, but not too old, and he's bigger.
Random cast.
And yeah, well, come on. And Lance is like, well, how do we know you're Keith? And he's like, Lance, we don't have time for this. It's Keith. Keith is back,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
Keith,
as soon as he,
Keith. This is my boy. And that was great.
Well, it was like, you didn't realize how young he was until
the flashback, which,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, he's a little kid.
Yeah. And I'm like, literally, like, he was like,
he's probably not much older than Katie.
I was going to say him, and he's a little older than Pidge.
I like calling her Kate.
Yeah. Pidge. That's the character's name.
Well, her name is Katie and she goes by Pidge as a nickname.
Right. Right. If you look at the cast list,
it does say Pidge.
Yeah.
I'm being facetious more than anything else.
But it's that thing where you didn't realize it until the time travel thing.
Yeah.
That he was younger, like younger than Lance and younger mm-hmm. than Honk. Because I was like, I thought he was kind of the same age. And then I'm like, wait a minute. No, he's not.
No, he's closer to Pidge.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, you know, probably 19 years old when they're time traveling. And by the time he gets back, he's in his mid to late 20s.
It was like they were gone for 2 years.
But it was like the way
the time works, yeah. He definitely, like, he's probably closer to Shiro's age now.
I don't think he's that old. Because that felt like Shiro was in his late 30s.
No.
He's
that gray hair came from the, like, the torture and stuff.
I
though.
Just
that
think
wasn't
that I felt
age.
Like he was older because okay. like he had served in the military for a long time. It was the way they talked.
I don't know. Maybe like
it kind of, the relationship between Shiro and Keith kind of felt like the relationship between Captain Pike and Kirk in the new Star Trek movies.
Father and son. See, I got a brother thing. Older brother, younger brother.
But not the father son. Oh. Just the older military guy, sure. taking care of a kid that he sees potential in.
Okay.
And that, who, you know, doesn't want to, though, it's just a punk kid pretty much.
So like Michael Ironside and Casper Van Dien.
No. No. No, I really feel like, you know, because Pike knows who Kirk is in the first Star Trek movie,
yeah.
and Pike, you know, says you've got potential, and I think that's kind of what Shiro's seen. And yeah. Lance is, you have potential to be something. And I didn't know what it was, but, yeah. you know, it's that Galra blood coming out.
My favorite Pike-Kirk thing in that first movie is when he says, do you like being the only genius-level repeat offender in the Midwest?
Yeah.
And Kirk goes, maybe I love it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Yeah. Like of all three movies,
right.
that's my favorite interaction. So,
but I mean,
it's like in the first half hour.
That's the thing. Is like I always thought that he might have been in his 30s. Like, sure, it might be in his 30s.
See,
at this
point,
like, he's in his 70s.
Well, who knows? Yeah. He's like, remember X-Men Evolution when Magneto went and got younger?
See, I never watched X-Men Evolution.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. It was on at the wrong time,
I
guess.
Was a good mix of, like, New Mutants, X-Men, new
right.
X-Men kind of thing. Like after like post giant size 80,
right.
But it was good. But it was, so there's a part where Magneto has Asteroid M, and he uses his powers combined with Scott and Havoc's powers.
Okay.
And he de-ages himself at the same time aging Scott and Alex.
Okay.
So that they now have full control of their powers.
Okay.
And you know, he goes from being older, like,
right.
so he youngins up, if you will.
Right, his hair turns different color.
It's still white, okay. But it's but then he like goes off, and the Scott and Alex end up destroying the asteroid, and they go back to being young,
right?
Because they weren't in there long enough for it to take permanent hold, sure. Gene, because Gene stopped it. But that was kind of Gene. What this reminded me of with Shiro. He went the opposite of Magneto, where yeah. he got older.
Well, and you know, we're jumping ahead, but like them bringing the clone body back,
that was smart.
Yeah, I was just like, obviously it's going to have something to do in the story later on. I didn't think it was going to be as soon as what they did.
Yeah.
But I was like,
I think the lion had something to do with him bringing the body back.
Yeah. But I feel like if they wouldn't have destroyed the castle, that story would have went a little longer.
Yes. And absolutely.
But I like what they're doing.
I do too.
Yeah. Because there's going to be repercussions since they're going back to Earth.
Well, they're going back to Earth. They're going back to Earth in force with all five lions.
Right.
And they've destroyed the Castle of Lions.
Yeah.
And that battle between...
Are they considered rogue? Because they're AWOL.
Yeah, they're all AWOL. Yeah,
so I'm like, there's going to be consequences.
Yeah, they're going to all get thrown into the brig.
Right.
And who knows what's going to happen.
Right.
But fighting Lotortron versus Voltron...
Yeah.
That was some of the just coolest
stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we keep trying to get back to them.
I really, and it's one of those things where a lot of people would probably complain about it. I liked the shots where it's like you were so far out that you were just seeing like blasts going off. Yeah. And you're like, huh? What? The neighbors are setting off fireworks again.
Hey, what's happening in that sector?
Yeah.
Can we go over? No, I don't want to go. Yeah. No, that asteroid. No, we're not going. No, no. Sit.
And I know it was like for perspective of the story because, you know.
Well, they were moving. They were moving all over the place.
The dealing with the quintessence and all that type of stuff and what they were going to have to do to destroy a lot of things. It's like, you know, that just, I'm like, I liked that director of that episode was like, we're going to do these shots from like 100 miles away.
Well, even the shots where they were out, like they still had the perspective and they were much smaller.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you would think like 3¾-inch versus 6-inch.
Right.
Via perspective, were so cool. And then, you know, pinning them against the asteroid, blowing up the asteroid, that was like, Keith is a freaking
Just Lotor losing his mind.
Well,
when Allura says you're just like your father at this point, and you know, he just loses it and he says, I'm going to destroy the Galra and I'm going to destroy this and I'm going to destroy that and create a new Altaian Empire.
Yeah.
And the girls were all in their ships, and they're like,
we're out. We out.
Yeah, and he ejects them all, and I'm like, oh. It's like.
Well, because they were going to make off with part of
Lotortron. Yeah.
So what is that? What do we call that?
That's a Robeast.
I love that thing had a tail.
Oh, it was totally a Robeast.
The tail was awesome.
Yeah.
The dual swords were cool.
Yeah.
And the fact that
I felt like it was a perfect combination of the combining force of what Voltron is and a Robeast, because it felt like it had the Robeast
and
still.
It had a little Castle of Lions thrown in it for good measure because it had the Teledove where it could just pop in and out like that. So,
but yeah, I just kept saying grab the tail, just grab the tail. I'm like, come on,
it's right there. Just grab the goddamn tail.
Yeah.
So, but no,
yep,
there was no tail grabbing to be had.
It was cool though.
Really dirty.
It was cool, though. I mean,
it was really cool. Studio Mir once again proves why they're the best animation studio on the planet.
Yeah.
Just not a hiccup, not a thing out of place. Oh, and how can we be remiss in saying we finally got a flaming sword?
Yeah.
It's the first time we've got the flaming sword in this series.
Right.
Which was awesome.
I think they were waiting for the right time.
And I'm glad they waited. Like, yeah. I'm very, very happy that they waited. But yeah, it was, I was so pleased. So I rewatched it all last night.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, this is as cinematic and epic, I think, as a chunk has been.
Right.
And
yeah, this one felt like you literally could sit down and watch it as a movie.
I think that's the best way to watch this. Yeah. Like with some of the other ones, it's like, yeah, I'm going to watch and I'm going to take a day and then I'm going to watch. This, I was like, I can't. Next? Yes, please. Yeah. Come on, quick.
Like, literally, it was just, let's not stop watching this. Let's see where this goes. Because when you find out that Lotor was experimenting on Altaians, And you're like, why? What were you doing? And it's like, you know, using their quintessence and then seeing that, you know, how disappointed the Paladins were. The Lotor turned out to be what they always thought he was, but they had become his friends.
Oh, yeah.
They had all become friends. And it's like, just like you just found out that your friend was not really like what you thought he was. And
your
like,
friend
oh, man.
Is not your friend.
But it was like so written so well because it felt so realistic.
It was heartbreaking
like,
for
like
them.
Like it literally was like, you know, the news cameras would come in and then interviews and be like, but he was such a nice guy.
Right.
Yeah. He was such a nice guy.
He helped everybody. Like, he did nice things.
He gave us stuff. He taught us stuff. And
to hear him mining them for their quintessence, that's unbelievable. Yeah, I don't believe it.
I don't even believe that happened.
I don't think you're telling me the truth.
No. Well, we've seen it.
They need that one.
That was kind of the gory thing of the season. It's like every season, I think they have to throw something in there where you're
just
like,
a little,
and why?
Well, because I think it was in contrast to Monsters and Mana, which was fun and lighthearted.
And then
like,
you find out that and you're like, ooh. It's like, okay.
So, all right.
I hope we get a Monsters and Mana each season now. I hope we get like that.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Like a different, it's a game where it just keeps progressing, but like, you know. I don't know. I think it'll be fun.
I loved when he was like, Corinne, how did you know that I was going to do that? I didn't. I made it up.
Yeah.
But how did you? I made it up.
I made it up.
But
and I told her when we were, I was like, that's totally how Dungeons and Dragons like worked.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he's the best Dungeon Master ever.
The game was like, you know, it's like I've been in Dungeons and Dragons games before, like just, you know, where friends have invited me to watch how it works. And
right.
Participate.
Did you never play?
I participated, but I wasn't like a player. But I was like, you know, just watching, you know, the Dungeon Master pull stuff out of their head. Yeah. And it's like, wait, what?
Who shot who in the what?
Well, and they come in with the books.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he had the book too. Oh, yeah. And I'm
but
like,
he was the only one who had the book.
Well, that's the thing is like the Dungeon Master's supposed to have the book. And I'm like, he has the book. I'm like, this is awesome.
It was great.
I hope they do that again.
Yeah. The last thing is
they'll have
finding
more characters to do it with.
That Karan's dad or grandpa,
yeah,
were also the mechanics of
they built
the
caretakers
castles? Of the
well,
castle.
Well, they built the castle.
Yeah,
he said his pop-pop built the castle.
Yeah,
and that his dad was there like working on it, but like he found his pop-pop's
toolbox,
it was such a cool little thing. Okay, that's cool.
And he had the
alcohol. It shows more of the investment that he's had in that castle.
Well, because it's kind of been, why does he care about the castle so much?
Yeah. And then when he's like, my pop-pop's toolbox.
Yeah.
And then figures out that, oh, wait, the alcohol that he used to drink is the explosive.
What's his last name? Whipple?
Whipple something, yeah.
So it was great. All right. Do you want to do a ranking or do we just say this is great, go watch it?
This is a good show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a show I would recommend to anybody.
Yeah. And if you're a parent with kids.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. This is a great, fun time to watch.
This is probably the season where you will have to explain a little bit more if they're little kids. But if
Yeah,
but if they're, you know.
So
in that,
mine is 10.
Right.
And
I was
going
to say if they're in that 7,
it, yeah.
7 to 11 range, so, you're fine. You're fine.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Aaron Dietrich with the Ohio Toy and Comic Show. We'd love it if you joined us on July 22nd, 2018, at the Dayton Fairborn Holiday Inn. We're returning for our fifth year with special guest Master Daniel Piscina, or better known as Johnny Cage, Scorpion, and Sub-Zero from the original Mortal Kombat arcade games. So check us out 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on that Sunday. It'll be a blast. See you then.
All right, and we're back, and it's almost upon us, the Ohio Toy and Comic Show.
Yep.
Just a couple weeks away.
Sorry, I was distracted by IMDb.
You were distracted by IMDb. Hey, one cool thing about the show is we are going to have very limited time offered specific shirts for
convention exclusive.
Convention
shirts.
Exclusive.
That's all you
got to
say.
Thank you. And they're not going to be available. They'll be available for a little bit after the convention ends, but not for very long. So make sure to check back to the page or come visit us and buy one.
Yeah. I forgot Emily Mortimer was in the kid.
Yeah. She was his girlfriend.
Well, she wasn't his girlfriend until
the end. So anyway.
Right.
Anyway, so that's a random conversation to just come back into.
Well, that was a random conversation while the commercial was going on.
All right. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Forgot Emily Mortimer was in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Hated it. Awful movie.
You hated it?
Oh, it was so bad.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm kidding. I loved it.
That's fine.
All right.
It's one of those things where if you don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try and make you like a movie I like.
And I know.
Nobody should try to make me hate a movie they hate.
I don't ever do that to you.
Whatever. Nobody's ever done that to me because they're afraid of me.
Because you're a beast.
I am a beast.
All right. Well, I mean, my affinity for the first one, you know very well.
Yes.
So it is in my top five Marvel movies. I love it. It's the one I rewatch the most.
You're talking about the first Ant-Man.
The first Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So
you gotta say that because you just confused me.
Okay. I came into this one with mild expectations. My main expectation was I wanted Peyton Reed and Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly to entertain me.
Yeah.
And to at least enjoy it as much as the first one.
Right. That's any sequel is kind of, I just want to go in enjoying it.
Yeah.
As much as I did the first one.
Right.
And if you can't do that, then you might have a problem.
Now, this one.
Deadpool 2.
Did, yeah. This one did. It did a better box office opening weekend than the first one.
Well, yeah.
And they made.
I mean, how many years ago was the first one?
2015, maybe?
So 3 years. Yeah. Things have changed. Even,
they have.
Yeah.
The other thing is that it made its money back. It made its production budget back in the first weekend, which is
kudos
awesome.
To you.
So,
kudos to us for going and making it happen.
You're welcome, Ant-Man and the Wasp. At the end of this run, it will very well have made more than Justice League.
Okay.
So, Peyton Reed returned, and then it was written by Chris McKenna, Eric Summers, Paul Rudd, Andrew Barner, and Gabrielle Ferrari.
Wait a minute. Paul Rudd wrote some of this and it wasn't bad? Like Deadpool 2?
Paul Rudd didn't. Just Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm up to speed now.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for your brain to catch up with your mouth.
It took a moment.
Yeah.
So I am on antibiotics, so give me a break.
No. No.
I don't feel good.
Oh.
Anyway.
Man baby.
I am a man baby. this week I am a man baby.
So did you ever do a ranking list?
Yeah, we talked about it.
I mean, did you do one and you typed it up like
I have them all typed up, yours and mine. Why?
Oh, you have mine?
Yeah.
Stalker.
You gave it to me.
I gave it to the world. It's on Facebook.
So yours was Captain America, Marvel's Avengers, Guardians 1, Infinity War, First Avenger, Civil War, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Iron Man, Guardians Volume 2, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, Homecoming, Thor, Iron Man 2, Dark World, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 3, Ultron.
Yeah.
And mine was Guardians Volume 1, Winter Soldier, Ragnarok, Infinity War, Ant-Man, First Avenger, Homecoming, Civil War, Black Panther, Guardians Volume 2, Thor, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Avengers, Dark World, Iron Man 3, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
So where does yours fit in now?
Between Thor, Ragnarok, and Black Panther.
Okay.
Yeah. I told you I like this one a lot
you
more.
You did
than
like
I,
this one a lot more.
And we're not going to rate it because we just rated it pretty much. Like, you can tell what you're going to put it in between. And
Where do you think I'm putting this in between?
This is probably like in your top five. You probably knocked Ant-Man out of the top five.
I did not knock Ant-Man out of the top five.
What did you knock out of the top five?
Nothing.
Okay.
I put this just behind First Avenger.
Which was at?
Number six.
Okay.
So this is my number seven.
Okay.
Out of 20.
So this is my number seven pretty much
too. Right. But that being said.
And we'll republish the list online.
I'll put it on the show.
Because this, you know. And rating systems, kind of. We're not Siskel and Ebert.
I'm going to be honest. I've only seen it once.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it, but I do want to go see it again.
Can I ask the compulsion for that? Why?
Because I really enjoyed it and I want to go see it again. Okay. I just do. Like, I thought it was really cool on the big screen.
Do you feel like Disney makes you want to go see these movies
again?
No,
but I love going. You know me. I love going to the movie theater. Right. It's my favorite activity.
These movies are coming out so fast now.
I only saw Black Panther once. I only saw Solo once. I saw Infinity War twice.
Right.
And that was just because
I've only seen Infinity War once.
Yeah.
And it's going to be out in August.
Right. And the only reason I saw it twice is because they wanted to see it.
Right.
And we did that for like 5
You have the excuse that you can use your family as an excuse.
But I'm going to go see it by myself one night. All
right.
After work,
but you went with your family and watched it the
first
time.
Well, the first time.
Right.
And,
yeah. So.
And to be honest, you know, in the past, I would have gone on Thursday night and then gone again with them on Saturday.
Come on, why don't you just go see Hotel Transylvania 3 and give them some money and, you know, no. Give a dog a bone.
But
go see the Mr. Rogers.
I want to go see Tag.
Oh, yeah.
So
if they played at legitimate times and wasn't 2 hours long.
I know.
How's a comedy movie 2 hours long?
About a game of Tag.
Yeah.
I get it.
Based anyway. On a true story. No, really.
I know. Is it? But I always think, because if you watch the Fargo TV show, it says, and the movie. Actually, all of the Coen Brothers movie, or not, that's not the Coens. Crap. Anyway, Fargo, the movie and the TV show, it says based on a true story beforehand, and they're not, you know.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, because they do it as a joke. All right.
I don't think Tag is a joke, though. I think
Tag is based. It's like the guys who did it have talked about it. This movie was really, really
Ant-Man and Wasp based on a true story.
It is.
True story. That goes back to the real world.
One Ant-Man picked to live in the house.
Exactly.
Alone. So I loved how this started.
Seven ants picked to live in a house.
Seven ants and one man picked to live in the
house. One genome.
True story. So whenever,
it's the ant real world.
Okay, whenever someone
would be the real ant world.
It'd be the real ant world.
Adam San Ant Francisco. Would totally do the theme song.
So whenever someone says real world, do you hear that John guy yell true story?
Yes.
Every time. Yeah. Every time. Yes. So anytime someone says in the real world, I just want to go true story.
And there's certain music that I hear that reminds me of the first season.
Yeah.
Because I watched first 4 seasons.
I watched way more of The Real World than I should have.
Yeah. I think the first 4 seasons was enough.
I think I watched up through like 12.
Ooh, damn.
And so.
Yeah. You watched way too much.
Yeah.
I watched like that and 2 seasons of Road Rules that I can remember.
I didn't watch a whole lot of Road
Now,
Rules.
Now, I bought a book. I can remember.
We're so off
There
topic.
Was like, well, we're fine. We're fine.
I know.
But I bought a book that was about the show.
Okay.
Because it talked about the production of the show.
Oh, cool.
And like a lot of behind the scenes, and then a lot of stuff about the people like that you didn't know.
Nice.
And that, because I was fascinated with what now is, you know, common.
Oh, yeah. Reality TV.
Reality TV. But I was fascinated with people that were my age. That were from different walks of life.
And they all look so much older than I looked like, you know?
They weren't your age, though.
But some of
the
them
first
were.
Season
the first
was,
season, no.
The first
right.
season was my age.
The first season, I think I was
you're
like 16.
Three years younger than me. Yeah, so the first season was people my age and a little older than me, but people that I associated with.
Right.
Like that age group.
Because you
like,
worked with people.
Yeah, and I was like fascinated to see how people from other walks of life.
Dealt with life.
And I'm like, you know, some people I sympathized with, and some people I did not.
Yeah.
So, kind of like I sympathize with Ant-Man, and I kind of don't.
Okay, so this picks up right for him 2 years after everything.
2 years after Civil War.
And he's on house arrest, which was a throwaway line in Infinity War.
Right.
When they asked, where's Scott and Clint? And they said they took a deal because they couldn't bear with their families, so they're under house arrest. He has 3 days to go on house arrest.
Yes.
And everything goes to crap.
It literally is like, you know.
The minute he says, I have 3 days to go, I'm like, oh, he's not making it.
I have 3 days to go, and where are Hank Pym and Hope Van Dyne?
Yep.
As soon as they asked him where they are, it's like, you know that something is going to go off the rails.
Someone is showing up. Yeah.
And just conveniently, Hank and Hope are experimenting with a gateway to.
Yeah.
Get into the quantum realm to rescue Janet.
Yep.
And since he's linked to the quantum realm in a way, he has a dream where he is Janet.
He had a dream he was Janet.
It was just, it was a fun scene because it's like the whole process of wrapping the anklet and all that. And then he gets in the bathtub and he's just so comfortable and falls asleep.
Yep.
And then it's the dream and you're like, well, this got weird really fast.
Yeah. But you know, they quickly explained what happened.
Oh yeah.
Which
yeah.
was great. I have to say, I'm so happy. Judy Greer and Bobby Cannavale were back.
Oh yeah. And I was like, you couldn't have done.
And the way their relationship was with him now.
Yeah.
And Cassie, she's great.
Yeah.
I felt like I was being judged as a dad though. Because of that trap that he made, like the heist,
the maze in the house
that he made in the house. It's like I felt like the kid was looking at me like,
why did
what the hell, Dad?
And you went, I was never a thief.
Yeah,
so
I don't know how to do a heist.
Yeah.
But yeah, the world's greatest grandma trophy was hilarious.
The world's greatest grandma. The introduction of the ex-cons.
Yes.
Yeah. The security team now called the ex-cons.
The ex-cons.
And I was like, that's cool. It's like totally makes sense because they were, you know, from doing what they did in the first one. It's like, yeah, you guys are really good at doing the security thing.
Right.
So. And it was nice to see all of them came back.
I'm a big fan, not of T.I. as a musician, but of T.I. as an actor.
Yeah.
I would like to see him in more, like, in even more stuff than he's been in, because he is legit funny.
Yeah.
And then David, I don't even know how to, Dast Malik. Okay, I'm going to spell this because.
Sure.
D-A-S-T-M-A-L-C-H-I-A-N.
Okay.
Who was Kurt?
Das Michelin.
Maybe, yeah. Uh-huh. Because he was one of the Joker's henchmen in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So, I love Kurt. Kurt's a great character. And then, yeah, this is another, like, big movie with a small cast.
The thing that made me happier with this movie than the first one is everybody seemed comfortable with their characters this time.
Yes.
Michael Douglas is a lot stiff in the first one. A lot
I
stiff.
I think that's because he's fighting the fact that he's in a superhero movie. And
maybe, but like he just seemed more at ease with himself.
Yeah, Hank Pym was a much better character.
And Evangeline Lilly, thank God they didn't give her that hair that she had in the first one.
Is that a wig?
It had to have been a wig.
It wasn't a wig. It was a real hair.
No, that was not her hair.
It was. She answered that question.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. But, oh my God, she is beautiful. Like, ever since Lost, I've been a fan,
sure, yeah.
You know, and she was so, so good this time out. And
well, it's that thing where, you know, because the movie is called Ant-Man and Wasp, it focuses a lot on her, and I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay, so here's why one, for all of the people who are complaining that, like, oh, well, they gave the Wasp more screen time and top billing.
Yeah.
One. Scott has been on house arrest for 2 years. Two, Scott does not want to go back to jail and leave his daughter again.
Right.
Three, Hope and Michael Douglas and Hank have been running around, scrounging up tech, trying to build a quantum tunnel.
Yeah.
And she has been actively being Wasp for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, and I think.
Plus, she was more skilled than Scott in the first movie anyway.
I think it was just the idea of, you know, and I think. Paul Rudd is generous enough because, you know, he was a writer on this movie that they gave them the story.
Yeah.
They gave because getting Janet back was the
story. That's the story.
And all Paul Rudd stuff, besides being in that part of that story, was just comic relief. Like literally everything with him was comic relief, except when he was with them.
He was the combined keymaster and gatekeeper in this movie. To find the coordinates to find Janet in the realm. That was his job.
Right.
That's what he did. And then.
You could say he's the MacGuffin of the movie.
He is the MacGuffin of this movie. But then he expertly teamed up with Wasp.
Yeah.
To fight the various bad guys in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought the best thing they did here was there was no one clear cut villain in this movie.
No.
Because Ghost.
Maybe Walter Goggins.
But he wasn't Walton.
Walton Goggins was probably the
But he wasn't
villain.
Even a villain. He was just a
Well, he's a villain in the slime ball the yeah. slime ball arms dealer way.
I mean, Ghost is you know, she's a another
Ghost after you find out her story.
Yeah. Again, spoilers.
Is more of
she's
a
just another creation of SHIELD gone
sympathetic
wrong.
Sympathetic villain.
Yeah.
Well, not even SHIELD. That one I was like legitimately he said it. Her dad stole the technology.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's a lot of the problem that SHIELD had, but it was because it was Hydra.
Right.
Was that stuff got out easy.
Oh, yeah.
And that. So I liked Bill Foster.
Yep.
Being included. I liked that they weren't friends, per se.
Yeah.
And that. But I'm like, I like the introduction of Lawrence Fishburne into the Marvel Universe mm-hmm. and playing a character that I want to see again.
Lawrence Fishburne in the Marvel Universe, superior to Lawrence Fishburne in the yeah. D-crap universe.
I think he's really good in the Superman, the Man of Steel movie.
Here's my problem with
In the
with
other
him.
One, he wasn't, what was it, Superman versus
When he's running,
Batman.
Whichever one where he's running out yelling headlines.
That was Superman versus Batman.
Yeah, no, he was not good.
And the Man of Steel, and we watched the Man of Steel recently. The Man of Steel, he plays what you expect Perry White to be.
I told you Justice League has made me more sympathetic to the Man of Steel, right?
Okay.
Like, I enjoy it now more because of Justice League.
Yeah. I enjoyed the Man of Steel, though. I mean, I didn't think it was that terrible of a movie.
I don't think it's the opening of a cinematic universe, but...
I totally agree with that, but I think it's a good Superman movie.
I think it's standalone, yeah. I'll give you that. Yeah. I agree. All right. So... There is so much action. I didn't expect all the action this movie was going to
Yeah, us. Yeah, this one had a lot more action, too.
The shrinking and growing cars.
Yeah.
So did you have that Hot Wheel case?
No.
I had that Hot Wheel case.
I had the suitcase one.
Okay, I had the one that looked like the wheel like that. Yeah. Carrying around the cars in there was brilliant.
Oh,
yeah. So
like,
awesome.
You know, it's really cool because it's that thing where you know that they're sitting in a room coming up with ideas of how do we do this?
Yeah.
Like,
how are we going to stay off
the building? Grid? The building was the best one.
The fact that it was a suitcase?
It's a suitcase, but it's not a suitcase.
Did you notice the Duracell battery?
What Duracell battery?
In the building.
No.
There is a Duracell battery, like regular AA battery, uh-huh. that is gigantic when it grows, powering the building.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Like, so if you think about, like, a AA has however many volts of power, right? When it's like this. But when it expands to 70 stories high or however, like, 40 stories.
Right.
Like, then that's a legit, like, so then it leads me to thinking, why is Ant-Man so, or why is Hank Pym so selfish that he's not powering the rest of the world?
Because you
know,
see
I
what
do.
Happens with
No,
that
I
power.
Understand.
Ghost is the answer to that question.
But she didn't shrink.
Well, no.
She phased in and out. So
right.
that was
she
the
was
other
a,
cool
she
thing,
She was a
right?
phasing, yeah.
This, so that was part of the problem with Black Panther, right? He fought himself.
Yeah.
You know?
That was
Man.
The problem with Ant-Man is Yellow Jacket
right.
is a version
right.
of Ant-Man.
Iron Man 2. Like, he fought himself,
yeah,
essentially,
versions
right?
versions of himself.
And so this time out, they went with a human.
Well, they took a more obscure Marvel villain, and they took just we'll create an arms dealer. It's an antithesis
right.
of Tony Stark.
Yeah,
you know
he was a less successful Justin Hammer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I had to go and look up.
He had a restaurant.
I totally forgot about Ghost.
Some of the food's questionable, but
the truth serum.
Ghost was what Bob Layton.
Yeah, so
and, I forget who else.
I just saw Bob Layton. So I'm more familiar with the Ghost from Dark Horse.
Right.
That's the one that, like, so when I hear the Ghost, that's what I think of. And this is just Ghost. I don't think
it's
the
Ghost. It's Ghost.
And I completely forgot about this character.
Yeah. And I think that's why it was a good character
And
to
I think
use.
It was awesome because it's like, it's not a new character. I knew it wasn't a new character for
right,
the movie.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Yeah, I have that Iron Man issue that, like, Ghost is actually... Yeah. On the cover, kind
so
of.
Are you familiar with Randall Park, who played Agent Wu?
He's on
Fresh Off the
right,
Boat.
I was gonna say so, he's on one of the television series
his,
that
his,
I don't watch.
His character on Fresh Off the Boat is very similar to Special Agent Jimmy Wu.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a restaurant owner, but he's super he's nicer
right,
than
nice
he should be.
And, yeah.
But he's also was on Veep in the first couple seasons. And I believe his character was Hispanic on there, which is really funny.
Interesting.
And he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But I love that guy. I thought he shows up in
very entertaining in this movie. And it's like, you know, if he comes back for a third one, if they do a third one,
I love
Do you want to get dinner?
Yeah,
that whole interaction toward the end with him was like, you know, because I literally was like, well, he thinks he's his friend.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, even though he's his jailer, it's like at this point, he's become the Stockholm Syndrome person where he's like, this guy's Ant-Man. You know, I'm Ant-Man's friend.
I'm Ant-Man's friend. Oh, and can we take a minute and just applaud Paul Rudd on the close-up magic?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was great. I've learned.
I do want to watch. Magic. I want to see post. I want to see, like, you know, all the post stuff that'll be on the Blu-ray.
Oh, with him learning the new skills.
If he didn't know how to do that already,
well, he said he didn't.
Well, I want to see. I want to see that blooper reel there.
And he went to
that
online,
should be its own blooper reel.
He went to online magic school.
Yeah. You know what? He was doing a pretty good job. Yeah. I mean, you know, the few times when he does stuff where you're like, wait, where did? Yeah.
Misdirection.
Yeah. Yep. Misdirection is literally.
And then him and Bill, like, measuring their size.
Yeah. That's one where I'm like, they should have left that out of the trailer.
Yeah.
It should have been left out of the trailer. That would have made it more funny.
No, what they should have done is, how big did you get? And then do something else,
or do the line where she's like, you know, why you guys, you know, stop comparing sizes.
Yeah,
type
stop
thing.
Comparing sizes.
Yeah.
I told you, I love this movie.
I'm very curious to see if Hank is going to be in Captain Marvel, because he still would be part of S.H.I.E.L.D. at that point, I think.
85? Because it was 1990, I think, in the first Ant-Man when
it's supposed to be 1990s that story takes place. So
he might not be.
Yeah, he might not be. But I'm curious to see if they'll have him in.
Okay, I will say this. So Captain Marvel, they said Nick Fury. Sam Jackson.
We know Fury, and we know that Coulson.
Okay, so Sam Jackson, Clark Gregg are going to be in there, and they are doing the de-aging process for the entire film.
Right.
If it is half as good as they did with Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer in this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm fine, man.
That's awesome.
This was the best yet that we've seen outside of Kurt Russell as Ego, which was mostly makeup.
Yeah, that was mostly makeup.
But that's because Kurt Russell is, you know, he's just a little more weathered.
The same, yeah.
He's just not as smooth. He's just got a few more wrinkles that they filled in.
It's not the years, but it's the mileage.
Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer played a very small part in this movie,
which was fine,
and I look forward to more of her. And when we talk about
will she be back,
so let's talk about the mid-credit spoiler. Well, actually, first let's talk about the end credit spoiler.
Okay, spoiler.
Don't wait,
spoilers at this point.
Yeah, super
spoilers at this point.
All right, do not wait until the end of the movie, because
no, I say stay.
It's the ant playing the drums. You've already seen it.
Yeah, but there's other stuff going on.
He's just sitting there playing drums.
Before they show him, there's other stuff going on with the emergency broadcast signal.
Oh, well,
and they show what San Francisco is looking like, because you see smoke.
Okay.
So you know that bad things are going on. And then there's his hand.
It is post snapping.
Yeah.
Okay. The snapping happens after they go.
Why is it called that now?
Well, some people call it the snapture. Like the rapture?
Why don't you just call it Thanos snapping his finger?
I kind of like the snapping. I just like saying snapping.
Oh, God.
So
that's as bad as the Happening movie. How about that?
Well, the Happening should have happened to the Happening.
You've always said that.
So, yes. And I firmly believe that. All right. So here's my problem. So they send him into the... Not a problem. Let me rephrase this.
Okay.
So rather, I had a different preference to how that scene should have ended.
Okay.
So he gets sent into the quantum realm,
right?
And then he gets the energy that they're looking for.
To help the ghost. Right.
And then they come back out and...
Well, he's literally on his... Going, okay, I'm ready to come out.
And then...
I'm ready to come out.
It flashes back and we see the dust particles falling.
Yeah, it comes back to the real world.
I would have liked for them to have kept Janet there.
Okay.
Because one, Michelle Pfeiffer is awesome and I love her. Two, I would like to see her and him, Janet.
You want to see them as Ant-Man and the Wasp?
No. I want to see the two of them helping the Avengers, because here's the thing. with what we know about Infinity War, or Avengers 4, right? Yeah. There is a casting call for an older Cassie.
Yeah.
So he's going into the future.
Right.
And there's been, you know, leaked set photos where he's in the original Avengers movie.
Let me ask you, did you listen to what they said to him when he went in there? When he went into the quantum.
Yes, there's, you come out and you can come out in different points in time.
Where, no, they told him watch out for time vortexes because you will get lost in time.
Right. So,
he's the setup to stop.
He's Thanos. The MacGuffin of Thanos now.
Yeah. But it's going to be him and Hawkeye. It's going to be him and Hawkeye.
Well, what I would have liked to have seen, though, is her and him.
Yeah.
And then she can send him back in to look for a specific time vortex kind of a thing.
Right.
And him being Scott, he goes either too far or too, you know,
so
too early.
So will Cassie be Stinger?
Like 20? I mean, that's who she is in the comic.
Right. Didn't she become Hawkeye, too, at one point?
No, she wasn't Hawkeye.
Who was Hawkeye, then?
Bishop. Cassie wasn't Hawkeye. Was Cassie Hawkeye?
Young Avengers.
I don't know. But the thing is, so in the comics, right, remember, Cassie has the Pym particles, like, in her system.
Okay.
Right? And it gets in her bloodstream, and it essentially, like, her heart muscle allows her to pump the Pym particles through her system so she can shrink at will.
Right.
And grow, I think. Did she grow? I think she and Pickens.
I think she did, yeah.
And, you know, she was a teenage superhero for quite a while. And then in the most, not the most recent, whatever, the all-new Ant-Man that came out a couple years ago.
Oh, no, she is part of the Young Avengers, but she was Stature.
Stature.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, then, you know, there was a Cross in the comics. Had a heart transplant and took her heart.
Okay.
So that, like, you know, took her heart and replaced her heart with a crappy one.
Okay.
So that he could heal himself and, you know, fight Scott on a more fair level. But yeah.
That's a lot of stuff that won't happen in the movie.
Well, no, Cross is dead. Cross died in the first Ant-Man.
Right.
Or he's in the Quantum Realm.
No, but he got crushed.
Yeah. So I want just because I want to see more Michelle Pfeiffer before Ant-Man 3 sort of a thing. You know?
I don't think we need to.
You don't?
Nah.
Okay. Well.
But that's what I said. There's a possibility that they might show up in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think.
That possibly. Might be the story with the missile.
Where they send her off. Yeah. Or send them off.
Yeah.
But.
That might be the whole thing. Is that missile might have to do with that story.
And then. All right, so when she actually takes over his body.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Well, yeah. It's Paul Rudd, like, at some of his best.
That is Paul Rudd at his most Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
So,
holding his hand.
When he's holding his hand and stroking her face.
Yeah.
And, you know, I liked the dynamic between Hope and Scott a lot.
Yeah.
She loves him. You can tell.
Yeah.
And she was very hurt that he went without her. More than anything.
Well, would he have gone?
I don't know.
He wouldn't have. If he would have went and told her, hey, I'm going to go do this, he wouldn't have went.
And what about him saying?
So I think I'm going to take a guess here at something. And, you know, it's just one of those fun guesses for a comic book fan to do. When Scott gets loose in time in Avengers 4. And he's during the Avengers movie, the first movie. There's going to be some interaction with Hawkeye, which is the reason why Hawkeye is the one that brought him to Civil War. The Hawkeye was the one that was sent to recruit him.
Yeah.
There's going to be some kind of interaction between them two that's going to make that part of his future.
Sure.
To make it, you know, all circle around.
Yeah.
I think that's either that's the idea or Hawkeye is going to be traveling in time with him.
Maybe.
But I think that's where that's
a little cross time caper.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, Hawkeye was a thief.
Yeah. We don't know that about this Hawkeye.
No, we don't know that about this Hawkeye at all. Anyway.
We don't know much about the Hawkeye and the cinematic.
Which is
universe.
Good. I like that. Like, yeah. I like a little
that
ambiguity.
He's got a family.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
But that's like Ultimate Hawkeye. Anyway. All right. This
What's Ultimate? I don't know what that is. That don't exist anymore.
No. So, is there anything else we need to talk about this
No,
one?
I think this is a really great movie. You know, very action oriented.
Yeah.
But story oriented too.
I love that Marvel has taken the Ant-Man movies and made them as self-contained as they are.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it works any other way.
No. I mean, you know, and it was fun with the stinger at the end. You know, like I said, the one at the very end, if you want to get up and go, get up and go.
Yeah.
But I think that it actually is a little impactful because I think that Ant has more to do than we think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that Ant is set up to do certain things at certain times. And
having the Ant do his daily routine with the ankle bracelet was pretty great.
Yeah.
So
it's a fun movie. Go see it.
Yep. All right. What do you rank it or rate it?
I'm not rating it.
You're not?
I put it on the list.
Okay.
That's where, you know, that tells you how good it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to say like an 8.5 out of 10, but that's just me.
Yeah. So I think that rating it on what I've rated the other movies, you can tell that it's more light than some. And
sure.
Yeah. So there. That's my rating.
But I'm also not like rating movies against each other anymore. Like it's not like I just rate the movie as what my enjoyment of it was. So anyway. All right. Anything else to add?
Nope. That's it.
All right, guys. On that note, we will see you next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.